Even as your word is coming, we pray, O God, that you will help us. Let the entrance of your word bring light to our hearts, bring illumination to our minds, bring transformation to our spirit. Let your word bear fruits that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for today, another day that God has given us. And last week we talked about it is all in a seed. It is all in a seed. And we saw the awesome potential that God has deposited in the spirit of the believer. And the fact that if we were to mind our spirits and we were to major on what is on our inside, we will be, of all people, the most effective, and we could control every kind of circumstance and have dominion on this earth. Now, this morning, I want to talk about the Father's desire, for his children, the ultimate desire of the Father, or the ultimate expectation of the Father for his children. Now, the ultimate desire of the Father and the ultimate expectation of the Father will also be the ultimate obsession of the Father. Something that the Father is very mindful of. We all have expectations of our children. When your child is born, you do everything for the child. When the child starts picking up his first steps, you help your child to pick up his first steps. You feed your baby, you care for your baby. But then as your baby is growing, as your child is growing, then your expectations of your child also increases. Every parent has an expectation for his children. So when your child is 5 years old and your child is still crawling, you become worried because your child is not meeting the standard expectation or the standard requirement. Now, if God gave us a seed, and if God planted a seed in us when we became born again, then it means that God has his mind on a fruit. So the ultimate desire of the Father for the believer, the ultimate expectation of the Father for the believer, is for the believer to bear fruit. When God talks about a seed, he has his mind on a fruit. And so God is very, very concerned about the fruitfulness of the believer. He is very concerned about whether we are bearing fruit or not. And the only thing that really brings God's displeasure in the life of the believer is lack of fruit. Lack of fruit. That is the thing that brings God's displeasure in the life of the believer. Lack of fruit. Now, the seed that God put into us, the seed of the word, according to 1 Peter 1:23, that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God which lives and abides forever. That was a seed. The seed came from God, and so the receiving of the seed doesn't really enthuse God. God doesn't get glory when you are born again. God doesn't get glory when you receive the seed. The glory is when the seed grows and begins to express itself as fruit. That is when God gets glory. And that is God's ultimate desire for every believer. God's ultimate expectation for every believer. And God's ultimate obsession for every of his children. Every one of his children. Now, the first blessing God pronounced on man was the blessing of fruitfulness. And every blessing that God has pronounced on man contains an element of fruitfulness. And that is why we know that it is God's obsession. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 28, Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. That was the first blessing God released on mankind. Fruitfulness. Come to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. When God recreated, sort of, he recreated things. When he wiped out of the surface of the earth all mankind, and then he was about to start a new program, he also pronounced the blessing of fruitfulness. He says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So here too, God pronounced a blessing of fruitfulness, which means that God's blessing is fruitfulness. Come to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, when God met Abraham. When God met Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He said, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. That is fruitfulness. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. In Genesis 22, after Abraham offered Isaac, God said, I have sworn by myself that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. So God is concerned, and God's blessing is fruitfulness. Now, another scripture, the same Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 26, sorry. 26. Talking about Isaac. 26, verse 2 to 4. Then the Lord appeared to him, that is Isaac, and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse 4. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, Isaac too was blessed with fruitfulness. All the patriarchs of the faith, all of them, they were blessed with fruitfulness. All the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Joseph. Come to verse 12. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You see, he sowed in that land of famine, that barren land, and he reaped in the same year of famine, 100-fold. He said, God blessed him, meaning that God's blessing is fruitfulness. Genesis 28, verse 3. 28, verse 3. Genesis 28, verse 3. When Isaac was blessing Jacob, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you will be an assembly of peoples. He said, may God Almighty do what? Bless you and make you what? Fruitful. Fruitful and multiply you and give you, so that you become many, many people. Now come to Genesis 35, verse 10 and 11. Look at God's blessing to Jacob. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. He said, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. That is God's plan for everybody. Now, the last scripture on this, Genesis 49, talking about Joseph. Genesis 49, verse 22. When Jacob was about to die and he was blessing his children, his sons, this is what he said concerning Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. So Joseph too was blessed with fruitfulness. Now the first blessing of God had to do with fruitfulness, and the first curse of God had to do with barrenness. In Genesis 3 verse 17, when Adam sinned, God cursed the ground. He said, cursed. Okay, 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, say you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Now, God cares the ground, and when he cares the ground, he cares the ground with barrenness. So the first curse that God pronounced was a curse of barrenness, and the first blessing God pronounced was the blessing of fruitfulness. So it is very important that we understand that God's desire for us is for us to bear fruit. God's expectation of us is for us to bear fruit. God's obsession, the one thing that can get us into trouble with God is lack of fruit. As Christians, the one thing that can get us into trouble with God, even while we are on this earth, is unfruitfulness. And as we go along and we see what is fruit, then we understand. Now, the importance of fruit. It is only fruit that glorifies the Father. It is only fruit that glorifies the Father. In John 15 verse 8, Jesus Christ says something. John 15 verse 8. John 15 verse 8. Jesus says something. He said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He said, if you bear much fruit, my Father will be glorified. And that is what will show that you are my disciples. So the Father's obsession is for the child, the children, to bear fruit. So unfruitfulness or lack of fruit is something that God doesn't even want to see among his children. Now come to Mark chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Mark 11, 12 and 13. The only time Jesus opened his mouth to curse was in connection with unfruitfulness. Mark 11, 12 to 13. And Jesus, okay, 12. Now the next day, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. He was saying that if there's a time to bear fruit, it is now. If you don't bear fruit now, then let no one also eat fruit, meaning that it is now or never. So the first and the only time Jesus really opened his mouth to curse was when he was provoked by a lack of fruit. He was provoked because the fig tree was supposed to give him fruit. Now, as we go along, you see that one thing that really can cause God to even disregard his children is lack of fruit. Lack of fruit is very important. Jesus cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit and there were leaves. Leaves are not enough. God is not interested in leaves. Leaves make noise, but they are not enough to satisfy the heart of God. Leaves can attract. They are attractive. They can make noise and shake and attract. But that is not what pleases God. What pleases God is fruit. He didn't say be leafful. He said be fruitful. That means that it is only fruit that glorifies the Father. He said, my Father is glorified that you bear fruit. Now, number two, importance of food is that the only reason why we have been called is to bear fruit. The only reason why we have been called is to bear fruit. John chapter 15. John 15. John 15. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Here, Jesus is saying that the reason why he appointed us, the word appoint also means to set, to set, to set somebody at a place. He said that he has set us in the body for fruitfulness. The reason why he called us and set us in the body was for us to bear fruit. The only reason why he called us, he said, I have called you. I have called you. I have chosen you and appointed you. Which means I have called you and I have set you. To set means I have defined you. I have given you gifts. I have given you things. I have given you opportunity. And the only reason why I called you and I appointed you was for you to bear fruit. Then he wanted to say that if we bear fruit, that is when we can ask the Father anything and he will do it. Which means also that the only way to attract the attention of the Father is by bearing fruit. When you bear fruit, you attract his attention. In fact, when you bear fruit, you bring him into your situation. When you are bearing fruit, you become the Father's delight. Now, we know that God doesn't show partiality. But let me tell you, God has favorites. He has favorites. God is closer to some of his children than others. He's not partial. When we say God is not partial, what we mean is that God gives everybody the same opportunity. He gives everybody equal opportunity. So he's not partial. But he doesn't treat everybody the same. He doesn't give of his provision resources equally. Even the giftings, he gives them severally, at each one according to your ability. So God is attracted to those who bear fruit. He said, if you bear fruit, the secret to answered prayer is fruitfulness. When you bear fruit, have your Father, you become your Father's delight. Then your Father will withhold anything from you. He said, if you take care of my own, I will take care of your own. That is God. Number three, only fruit will abide eternity. Only fruit will abide eternity. In other words, it is only fruit that can cross this realm into the next realm. We cannot take anything with us apart from the fruit we bear to God. You can't take anything. In other words, anything that you acquire on this earth will be meaningless apart from the fruit that you bear for God. When you stand before God, it is not going to be about anything you acquire on earth. Not going to be about anything, any investment you make. Not going to be about the property you acquire for yourself. Not going to be about the contribution you made to society or the contribution you made to the nation. Not going to be about your influence in politics or your influence in the family. It's going to be about fruit. Because it is only fruit that he is looking for. Sometimes we worry ourselves so much on things that we cannot take with us to the other realm. There are things you can never take with you, but we worry ourselves, we fight and we kill people for things we can't even carry along. And the things that will be needed in the next world, we don't give attention to them. And that is fruit. Only fruit will be needed. in the next realm. He said, bear fruit that will abide. That will abide. Fruit that will remain. Fruit remains. Fruit remains. Fruit satisfies. That is why Jesus was looking for the fig fruit, not the fig leaves. Leaves don't satisfy. It is fruit. Fruit is that which satisfies. When people go to the mango tree, they are expecting to get a mango fruit to eat so that they will be satisfied. Now, lack of fruit is the only thing that attracts God's displeasure. Lack of fruit. The main thing that attracts God's displeasure is unfruitfulness. God hates unfruitfulness. He hates it because God's blessing is fruitfulness. So he doesn't like unfruitfulness at all. If you check through the Bible, what provoked God always was unfruitfulness. An example is Jesus and the fig tree. The only thing that could get Jesus so angry that he placed a curse. Even the Pharisees, and with all their hatred and envy and all that, couldn't get him to curse them. But look at this tree. He cursed the tree because the tree couldn't produce fruit. Then come to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Jesus was talking about a parable. He spoke a parable. Luke 13, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." Why was he angry? Because I've given you 3 years. 3 years, and you are not bearing fruit. And so you are using the space. You are occupying space for nothing. So I'm going to cut you down. Then he said, "Give me one more year." Which means that in the scheme of things of God, 4 years is enough for fruitfulness. If you become a believer and for 4 years you're not bearing fruit, there's something wrong. 4 years is enough for fruitfulness. 4 years is enough. And when I talk about fruit, I will explain what is fruit. 4 years is enough. He said, "I've given you 3 years. You couldn't bear fruit. So I'm going to cut you down. Cut you down." And this was something that he planted. He said he planted a fig tree. I don't know, fig trees, they are always trees. I mean, in the Bible, the trees that were unproductive, I mean, the trees that attracted God's displeasure all through their fig trees. Fig trees. Because you see, the fig tree, the major concern of the fig tree is leaves. In fact, the most prominent feature of the fig tree is its leaves. Because its leaves are nice. And it has many leaves. Even Jesus Christ, when he was talking about the end time, he said, "Remember the fig tree. When it puts forth tender leaves, know that summer is near." So fig tree, they're not concerned about fruit. They're only concerned about leaves. And as believers, when our life becomes fig tree, God will cut us down. If you don't bear fruit, he will cut you down. He will take you away. That is why the Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because there is something at stake. If we fail to bear fruit, he can take us away. He can cut us down. So once he has given you the seed, then work out your salvation. Let that seed grow and bear fruit. When we say cut down, it means you can lose your place. You can lose your place. You can be disregarded, marginalized. You can be ignored. He can cut you down and give the opportunity to somebody else. He can take that. You can lose your crown. Lack of fruit is very serious. Very serious. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. He was talking about something. Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. It says, for the earth, which drinks in the rain, that often comes upon it, and bears herbs, useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. He was talking about believers who go into apostasy. People who have the seed of God, but the seed doesn't develop into fruit, and they go on and go on till it gets to a point where they even reject Christ and lose the seed altogether. And he's saying that, he says that if the earth that often receives rain, if it brings forth herbs that are useful for those who are cultivating it, it receives blessing. But if it brings forth thorns and briars, thorns and thistles, he said it is rejected. So even though we are accepted in the beloved, lack of fruit can make the Father reject us. Lack of fruit, we can be rejected by God even whilst we are on this earth because we lack fruit. Now come to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. God was singing. He was singing. Isaiah 5. He said, now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out his stones. Look at what he's doing to the vineyard. And planted it with a choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. He built a tower and made a wine press. You see, when you plant a vine, the vine tree, we get wine from the grape, wine from the vine tree. And so he planted the vine, a vineyard. Then he also made a wine press so that when the fruit comes, they can press the fruit and get wine, drink to drink. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. Wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judah, judge peace between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay its waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain on it. Look at how God is judging the vineyard because of lack of fruit. This is something the Father takes personally, and it's something that he's obsessed because God is a businessman. He desires fruit from his investment. When God makes an investment, he wants the investment to yield fruit. If God has given you a seed, God expects the seed to bear fruit. If God gives you time, God will dig around you. God will take away the stones, and God will apply manure or fertilizer. After all these things, you are not bearing fruit, that God will take you away. Sometimes he can even take you away from the earth. When you are bearing poisonous fruit, there are many people who are bearing poisonous fruit that God took them away from the earth. He removed them. He took them to heaven, and their lives were cut short from the earth because they were bearing poisonous fruit. They were teaching poisonous doctrines that will poison the church. Now, why is fruit important? I've not even come to what is fruit. And so on, why it is important, why fruit is important. Fruit is the unmistakable sign of maturity. Unmistakable sign of maturity is fruit. Every tree that is mature will bear fruit. So fruitfulness, it is a sign of maturity. That the sign that you are a mature person is you are bearing fruit. Because fruitfulness comes with maturity. Even if you take a tree as an example, when the seed is planted, the mango seed is planted, and the mango seed becomes a mango tree, and the mango tree grows to full maturity, what happens? You will see that it sprouts flowers. Then you will see the fruit emerging from the flowers, which means that the thing has come to maturity. So when you are bearing fruit, that is why you are mature. Your Christian maturity is how fruitful you are, how you are bearing the fruit that God wants us to bear. Also, fruit is the unmistakable proof of source. Unmistakable proof of source is fruit. It said, by their fruit you shall know them. Not by their leaves, but by their fruit. Because the fruit is an unmistakable representation of the seed. You can never plant a mango seed and get an orange fruit. Whatever seed you plant, you will get the fruit of. That is why when God plants the incorruptible seed, he wants to get the incorruptible fruit. And if he doesn't get it, he becomes wild, because it means that another seed was planted. That is why he said, cut it down, because I planted a seed and I spread the fruit thereof, but he's not giving me the fruit. And he said, give me one more year. So if you are really born again, after 4 years, four years is enough for the born again person to bear fruit. Otherwise, you stand the risk of incurring the displeasure of the Father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. You wonder why the Bible says we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. The reason is that if we don't bear fruit, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruit you will know them. It says that we will know false prophets by their fruits, what they produce. What comes out of the person will let you know what sort of person the person is. Comes out of the person. If you want to know somebody, it is what the person produces. The fruit of the lips, the fruit of the hand, what he says, what he does. It is an unmistakable source, proof of source. The only way not to be deceived is to look at the fruit the person is bearing and judge just by the fruit, not by the outward appearance, by the fruit. If you want to know a false prophet, check the person's message, what is coming out of the person. Sometimes you can't even see the person's lifestyle. Check the fruit of his lips and the fruit of his hands, what he's doing, what is coming out of him. Because if the seed of God is in you, the word of God will come out of you. Whatever seed that is in you, that will come out. When you are under pressure, the seed in you, the fruit that it will bear, will come out. When you are in comfort, what has been planted in you is what will come out. That is why we always say that money, for instance, doesn't change people. Money only brings out the real you. Money doesn't change you. It will only bring out who you really are. So when you get money and you see that you are pompous, it's not the money that has made you pompous. It is the money that has come to reveal to whether you were pompous all along. The ultimate goal of Christianity is not heaven. It is fruitfulness. The reason why God saved us was not to take us to heaven, but for that we will bear fruit. So you are born again, not of corruptible seed, not to go to heaven per se, but to be fruitful. Romans 7:4. What does it say? It says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Why have we been married to Christ? That we should bear fruit to God. So, the goal of Christianity is fruitfulness. The reason why, that is why, you see, when you compare the Old Testament people to our lives are just a shadow of our life. God saved them from Egypt and then threw them through the wilderness, but the ultimate goal was Canaan. And Canaan is not a type of heaven. Canaan is a type of the matured Christian life. A type of the fruitful Christian life. A land that was flowing with milk and honey. A land that had fruits. That is why they had to fight wars in Canaan. But we don't fight wars in heaven. So God is not taking us to heaven. He's taking us to Canaan, where we will stay fruitful. If there's any battle we will fight, it will be a battle against our fruitfulness. Anything that will come against our fruitfulness, that will seek to limit us from bearing fruit, will attract a battle. And that is all that the Christian life is about. It is about fruitfulness that will bear fruit. People are born again and they think that we are just waiting to go to heaven. God is waiting for us to bear fruit. Heaven is not only a place of final abode. Heaven is also a place of origin. When you are born again, you come from heaven. And you are here on earth as heaven's representative to promote heaven's interest. That is heavenly mindedness. That you know that you are here representing your home country to promote the interest of heaven. There is work to be done. It's not about just being born again. Some people can stay in church for 10 years, 20 years, and there is no fruit. Most of them have been disregarded by God, sidelined by God. God hates unfruitfulness. Now, what is fruit? What is fruit? Fruit is becoming like Christ. Fruit is Christ-likeness. Fruit is Christ-likeness. The seed that was planted in us was the seed of Christ, the incorruptible seed. And that seed will produce Christ-likeness. That seed will produce Christ, because every seed has a potential of producing the fruit. And when you look at the fruit, you can check the fruit against the seed. We all don't know what seed was planted in the ground. But when the tree grew and began to bear fruit, we saw that it was a mango seed that was planted. So if truly you are born again, then let that seed show in the fruit you bear. People sometimes just want to say, oh, okay, if I do this, I'll go to heaven or hell. Okay, so if I sin, am I going to heaven or hell? It's not about heaven or hell. If what was really put in you was the seed of Christ, then we should see the fruit of Christ. Otherwise, it may happen that you are not even born again. When we say that the one who is born again can never perish, the one who is born again is the person that the seed is in him. But there are some people who are not even mindful of fruit, not even thinking about how to bear the fruit. And that is what God is against. He wants us to be concerned. If we are not bearing fruit, we must be concerned. If we are lacking some fruit, we must be concerned. Because that's the ultimate goal of Christianity. It's not just to make it to heaven. It's to be fruitful on this earth. To be of use to God. We are bearing fruit to God. Not for ourselves. Then we bear fruit for other people too. Christ-likeness. That is fruit. That is why the ultimate desire of God is for us to become like Christ. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wanted to replicate, to reproduce Christ, to multiply Christ. So he took that seed of Christ and then he put that seed in you and I so that that seed will grow and that we can represent Christ, present him again to the world. That he still lives, that we give him a human face. He said, God foreknew us, then he predestined us. He said, the reason why God predestined us was for us to be conformed to the image of his Son. For us to become like his Son. Because the Son gave the Father so much delight, so much pleasure. He said, I was dealing with him and I was his delight all day long. I was his delight. In Proverbs 8. And the Son so much brought the Father pleasure that the Father said, I want many, many people like him. That is what started all this idea of creation. He wanted to see the Son in everything. So in everything he created, he was looking for the Son. He said, by him, all things were created. He said, all things were created by him and for him, in Colossians 1:16. So everything God did, he was looking for the Son. And God is still looking for the Son. That is why he went through the pains of going to the cross and all that, just to make us fit vessels for the seed to come and live in us. But when the seed comes to live in us, then it's time for the fruit to come. For us to bear fruit to God. The ultimate height of a Christian is to attain the full stature of Christ. If that is your aim and you die trying, you'll be rewarded. When God gives you one talent, when he gave them five talents, two talents, one talent, he expected them to trade with the talent. Now, that was money, but I'm talking about the seed. It's the same idea. That he's giving you a seed. Don't wait till for when God comes and you present the seed, raw seed to him. No fruit, only seed. Because God knows that in one seed, he can get many fruits. So if you present the one seed to him, you have cheated him. That's why he said, couldn't you have given the talent to the banker so that at my coming, I would have gotten my own with interest? Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, he said, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, come unto me. But when he says, come unto me, it doesn't end with come unto me. He said, come unto me, then take my yoke upon yourself and now learn of me. That is the ultimate goal of the Christian life. There are three invitations Jesus Christ gave when he came on this earth, and all three were to him directly. He said, come unto me, abide in me, follow me, these three things. And these are the three stages of our Christian life. We come unto him, then we abide in him. When we abide in him, we are learning of him. When we abide in him, that is when his words also abide in us. Then we begin to bear fruit. Then we follow him in ministry, which is also fruit. So, we are to produce Christ-likeness. The seed in us must grow to produce Christ-likeness. God with us was not God's final plan. God's final plan was God in us, Christ. Christ in you, God in us. Not Emmanuel, God with us, Christ. God in us. Why? So that we can represent him. Represent. Present him again to the world. Now, type of fruit. I said that fruit is Christ-likeness. But in what ways? In what ways do we resemble Christ? Number one is the fruit of character. The fruit of character. Come to Romans 6:22. Romans 6:22. Okay, let me read from verse 20. Romans 6:20-22. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. What he's saying is that, he says, when we were slaves of sin, what fruit did we have? Poisonous fruits. That was when we were slaves of sin, we were not born again. Now we are no longer slaves of sin. Now the seed of sin is not in us. So why is it that we are bearing fruit of sin? He said, if the seed of sin is not in you, then you must bear fruit of holiness. It is very important because that is what shows that something took place. Otherwise, how will we know that you have received the seed? When a woman takes seed, it shows after some time. You can't hide it. It will show. Any seed you take inside of you, it will show. It has to produce fruit. So if the seed you took was the incorruptible seed, then after some time, we should see the seed grow into fruit. That's what he's saying. That if you were slaves of sin, you bore fruit that were poisonous. Now, no longer a slave of sin, then you must bear fruit to holiness. Don't let anybody deceive you that holy life is an option for the Christian. It's a deception. Don't let anybody deceive you that, oh, as a Christian, you can commit any sin and just be free. It's a deception. That is not the true Christian life. The true Christian life is a progressive life of becoming like Christ. That is a true Christian life. That's why he gives us grace, that we might become like him. That we might become like Christ progressively, day in, day out. We are changing. We are changing from glory to glory until we become like him. Our change is in stages. We are like him right now in our spirit. He said, as he is in heaven, so are we. He said, 1 John 4:17. Then number two, we are being transferred from glory to glory. We are being changed in our mind, in our thinking. We are being changed in our attitude, in our character. We are being changed in our actions to become like him. Then the ultimate change will come when we are changed in our bodies to become like him. When we see him, we shall change, for we shall become like him. Now, anytime you see Jesus, something changes in you. You change. The ultimate change will come when we see him with our physical eyes. But now, we see him with our heart. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding him as in the mirror, the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. He said, beholding him, seeing him now. We are seeing him now in the Word. When we see him in the Word, we are transformed. Our hearts are open, that his Word enters out, that we bear fruit. That is the fruitful Christian life. Not a life where a person is in the church 5 years and the person, we can't find anything godly or Christ-like about the person. Check the seed. Maybe you got the wrong seed. Because if you get the right seed, you produce the right fruit. Now, the fruit of character is the fruit of love. The fruit of love. In Galatians 5:22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. 9 components of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, these are just representations of the virtues of God. Not all the virtues. I mean, you can just group them into three, groups of three. But they are representing all the virtues of God, all the riches of God. These 9. 3 of them is personal, inside. 3 is to God and 3 is to man. The fruit of the Spirit. Our battle as Christians is not with the devil. Our main battle is how to bear fruit. Our main war, our main struggle is how to bear fruit, how to stay fruitful. Not about the devil. The devil was defeated. When the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, it doesn't mean we should fight Satan. It means stand on your ground and prevent him from making you lack food. Because the enemy knows that now he cannot send you to hell. So the next thing that he will do is that he will make you unfruitful on this earth. Do you know that love is the only thing from us that can really satisfy people's hearts? It's not leaves. When people come to us, they are not coming for leaves, they are coming for fruit. They are coming to see whether they can have love from us. Not leaves. Sometimes we charismatics, sometimes we are so mindful of leaves. Let me tell you something. What moves heaven is not power. What moves heaven is not faith that moves mountains. What moves heaven is a heart of love. How you can show love, that is what moves heaven. Power doesn't move heaven. If you pray for cripples to walk, that's not what moves heaven. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying what moves heaven is love, not power. Because love comes before power. Power is leaves. Love is fruit. Power is leaves. The gifts of the Spirit, they are leaves. They are bells. Bells. But the fruit of the Spirit is fruit. That is why in the high priest garment, at the hem of the garment, there were designs of pomegranates and bell. Pomegranates and bell. Pomegranates and bell. Every pomegranate was, every bell was sandwiched by a pomegranate. The bell stands for the gift of the Spirit. Then the fruit stands for the fruit of the Spirit. That is why in Corinthians, it has been arranged that way. You see chapter 12 talks about the gift of the Spirit. Then chapter 14 talks about the gift of the Spirit. Then 13, in between 12 and 14, talks about love. Because it's a bell and a pomegranate and a bell and a pomegranate. Paul said, if I have faith to move mountains and I have faith to understand all mysteries and I speak with the tongues of men and I have no love, I become a clanging cymbal, just a noisy cymbal. I'm just making noise. What people need from us is not our noise. It's our fruit. That is why he said, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you means I never had intimate relation with you. So what you produced was not fruit. Because fruit comes out of intimacy. So you were never in my bedchamber. I never had an opportunity to be intimate with you. And so there was no fruit. And you had, all you had were leaves. He said, but we prophesied in your name. That's why I said, the gifts of the Spirit, they are leaves. We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And we did many great things in your name. He said, I never knew you. You were just displaying leaves. And leaves were attracting people, but there was no fruit. Because you can only get fruit when I know you. Like Adam knew Eve. That is where you can get fruit. He knew them by face and by name. He's God. He knew their names. But he didn't know them like Adam knew Eve. So there was no fruit. The difference between believers is the fruit we bear. It's the fruit we bear. Sometimes it is good to desire the gifts of the Spirit, but we desire the gifts of the Spirit in the wrong way. Because the key, the way, the door to the supernatural is love. He said, I show you a more excellent way. When you are growing in your character, that is when you qualify to even desire the gifts of the Spirit. He said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love first. But sometimes we just want impartation. I just want to move in the Spirit. That is why a lot of times the gifts of the Spirit, they kill us. I'm talking about physical death. Sometimes they even destroy us. You see somebody with a great gift of God, and the person has no love, no character. And it's like a child carrying a bazooka. It will destroy you yourself. God's plan is to build a foundation of character first. Don't judge yourself by your tongues. Judge yourself by your fruit. Measure your Christian growth by how loving you are. How you are growing the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you measure your Christian growth. You don't measure your Christian growth by the visions we see. Visions doesn't make you mature. Seeing a vision, having a dream, these things are gifts. Babies can have gifts, but it is adults that can produce. So don't be fascinated when you have a gift. I mean, it's good. The gift is good. But that is not the most important. The most important is the fruit you bear. He didn't say by their gift. He said by their fruit. Because he knows that fruit cannot be copied. You can't copy fruit. You can copy gift. Somebody can dash you a gift. But I can't dash you my fruit. Fruit must be born by staying in the vine, and then you bear fruit. But for gift, you can just get a gift. A Christmas tree can get many gifts. Christmas tree, many gifts. When you see a fruit on a Christmas tree, it is a gift. But mango tree, look at the years it takes for the mango tree to bear fruit. It's standing at one place, planted, receiving all the nutrients. There are some people, they are not even planted, and they are putting spiritual gifts. You are killing yourself, exposing yourself to all kinds of attacks. That is why many, many people die young in the church. Because we expose ourselves to unnecessary attacks. Because you see, the gifts of the Spirit, they are like beauty. Beauty attracts. But character is more important than beauty. And God will give us beauty. But God doesn't, that is not moved by your beauty. I'm talking about your spiritual beauty. The gifts of the Spirit is moved by the fruit you are developing. You can't borrow fruit. You can't copy fruit. You can't fake fruit. You can fake a gift. You can't fake fruit. Fruit cannot be faked. That is why you cannot behave in a way that is inconsistent with your character for a very long time. You give yourself away. That is why when the foolish virgins realized that their lamps were going off, they said, "Give us some of your oil." They said, no. These things we don't share. There are some things we don't share. When you would need it, you realize that you have to go to the secret place and get your own. He said, we can't give you, we don't have enough. It's not enough for us. Go to those who sell and go and buy. Because you cannot share fruit. That is why every branch is attached directly to the vine. No branch grows on a branch. You have direct access to the vine. So that's why I say there's no personality with God. Everybody has direct access to God. No branch is attached to a branch. Every branch is attached to the vine directly. And you receive your nutrients from the vine. Now, if you take that seriously and you are planted and you abide in him and his words abide in you, then you will bear fruit. Sometimes the reason why people, you see believers and it's like they are not, their lifestyle is not even nothing to show that they are believers, is because sometimes they are not taught well. Because sometimes they are not planted well. So, when you see somebody who is not growing, there's something wrong with the diet he's receiving. Yes. Because now we have produced many lopsided believers. People who are like roasted plantain that was not turned. So they are just lying on one side and the one side will get bent. Once they get one out of the pack, run with it. All I know is prosperity. All I know is what? Is this. All I know is prayer. Because there are many people who are feeding people. They are feeding people, but they themselves, they are not being fed. And that's what happens. When you are feeding people, they are not being fed. Judge yourself by the fruit of the Spirit, not by the gifts of the Spirit. Does it mean the gifts of the Spirit are not important? They are very important. We must desire for the gifts of the Spirit. But if you desire for the gifts of the Spirit, and you don't have the foundation of character, you are asking for your early death. It's like you are signing your death warrant. I'm talking about physical death. Because the gifts of the Spirit, they are so heavy. They are not toys, they are tools. And when you're not mature, you begin to use them as toys for entertainment, for showmanship. People even use it for so that if they propose, somebody will accept. This guy is so Joshua. So, and there are many, many women too. They look at the person and say, "Oh, this person is so Joshua." Marry the person and go and live with the person for 2 days. Then you know whether he's so judgeous is on the pulpit or in the heart. I'm telling you, that's why many people marry people. They see the charisma. See that, hey, the person is able to preach or he heal the sick. Or they say, hey, judgeous brother. Then you marry the person, you go and live with the person, that this person, nothing like Christ. He's only audacious. He just lives without fruit. He said, by their fruit, you will know them. Number two, the fruit of souls. The fruit of souls. These fruits, these are fruits that will make God, will make you a delight to God. Anything that you do to bring people home, you become a delight of the Father. John chapter 4. John 4. Verse 35 to 37. It says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then come the harvest? Behold, I said to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. Now he's saying that we bear the fruit of souls by either sowing or reaping. And each one of them counts with a reward. Sometimes people will sow and they will go and reap. Sometimes we will sow and others will go and reap. Because it's a field of souls. And the more we gather fruit into eternity, the more we receive wages. I've come to realize something. I've seen that people who are evangelists, they live longer than people who are other aspect of ministry. And I've been studying for a long time. I said, why is it that evangelists, I see that they live longer. Evangelists, they live longer. You check Billy Graham to Roberts to whoever. I mean, if they live longer, the average evangelist lives. And I said, okay, because when you are committed to souls, you become the Father's delight, and the Father will preserve you to do it because you are doing something on his heart, because it is his obsession. And when a believer becomes born again and the person doesn't think about souls, you become a fruit that is not a tree that's not bearing fruit, because souls are fruit. When we win souls, what it means is that we are reaping the fruit for Jesus. The fruit of his death and resurrection, we are giving it back to him. He has an inheritance in the saints. That inheritance is when we begin to join him in his work and we begin to bring the fruit, gather fruit into eternity. Let us not joke with missions. Any church that is not mission-oriented is a dead church. It's as simple as that. He said, I've called you and appointed you to bear fruit. That is the commission, to bear fruit. And that your fruit remain. He didn't call us to be successful. He called us to be fruitful. Wages come when you gather fruit into eternity. That is why some of the most blessed ministries are ministries that are mission-oriented. If you want God to prosper you, think about souls. If you want God to preserve your life, think about souls. If you want God to back you, think about souls. In fact, if you even want to move in anointing, think about souls. Sometimes, the reason why there are some people who are not very fast in the Lord is because they are committed to soul winning. When you stand before God, what are you going to present to God? As an evidence, as a token of fruitfulness. Paul said, you are my crown of rejoicing. You are my crown. You are my crown of rejoicing. Was telling the church in Thessalonica that you are my crown of rejoicing. You are the fruit of my labor. when it comes to winning souls, there are people who are fishers of men. Others are menders of nets. And both of them, they are winning souls. You are either a fisher of men or a mender of nets. Come to Luke 5. Let me show you something in Luke 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked them to put out a little from the land. Now, he saw people who were washing their nets. They were mending nets, and others too were fishers. Fishermen. When we say a fisherman, some are people who will mend the nets. Others will go out and fish. And they are both going to receive wages. Like David said, he became a law in Israel. He said, those who go out to fight and those who stay to protect those who are left behind, each one of them receives the same share in the spoil. And that is what it is. There are people who support with their money, people who go out there and win the soul. Any effort you make for people to be saved will be rewarded. Will count towards soul winning, will count towards your fruit. Any effort, whether it's money or time, anything that you waste or you spend on the kingdom for people to come home, it is recorded in heaven. Anything. So we don't have any excuse before God to say, because of so and so, such and such, I couldn't bear fruit. When you are a believer and the Lord sees that you are not thinking about fruitfulness, he will remove you. He said, I will take away. Come to John 15. Let me show you something in John 15. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that has not bear fruit, he takes away. You see, he always deals with the bad first before the good. Even in the parable of the tares, he said, take out the tares first. Then afterwards, they will gather the wheat. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Have you seen how God thinks? Even the one that is bearing fruit, he is pruning, washing, cleansing, that he may bear more fruit. Because he is always, in need of fruit. He wants more fruit. That is why the fruit we bear, they are 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Even though it's the same fertile soil, but some will bear 30, some will bear 60, some will bear 100. Which means that when you are at 30 level, he will prune you and cut certain things and prune you. Then you will bear more fruit, 60 level. At 60, you come again. You say, 60 is good, better than 30, but it's not good enough. So let me prune you again. And he will prune you again. Then you will bear 100-fold. So till we leave this world, if you are bearing fruit, he will always be pruning you so that you can bear more fruit. Hallelujah. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. As I said, the secret to entering the heart of God is to be concerned about fruit. When you bear fruit, you attract God. You become the Father's delight. God is not partial, but God has favorites. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. How else can we explain certain things? If God has no favorites, he's not partial in the sense that he gives everybody equal access to him. Even as a parent, you give all your children equal access to you. They can come to you all the time that they want. But if somebody always comes to you, there will be some bond between you and the person. That is why there are some Christians, even though God has given us all the same opportunity, that some Christians are seen to be closer to God than others. Even though all of us are attached to the vines directly, there are some, because some will always go. Take a ministry like this. Many people will come to this ministry. It's not everybody I might know the name. But everybody can come to me. There are some people, I didn't know them from the day they came to the ministry. But after some time, I didn't only get to know them, I got to know their name. Why? They were coming. You understand? They were coming. I got to know their name. They were coming to me. I got to know them. That is how God knows us. When he said, I never knew you, it means that they never came to him in the secret place. Because we have knowing and knowing. I know you, but I may not know your surname. I know you, but there's a level of knowing that somebody knows higher than I know. But every level of knowing comes with fruit. Then the last one, fruit of good works. Fruit of good works. Colossians 1 verse 10. Colossians 1 verse 10. From verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Check all these things, all the words that he used. He's talking about multiplication, fruitfulness. The reason why he's praying for spiritual understanding and wisdom is so that they can be worthy, walk worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing by being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. Hebrews chapter 12. Fruitful in every good work. Every good work. Hebrews 12 verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the lasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Make you complete in every good work, that you may be fruitful in every good work. Good works is part of Christianity. Sometimes we say that works, it is the law versus grace. It is works versus grace. Now, in the Old Testament, works came before righteousness. In the New Testament, righteousness for works. In other words, in the Old Testament, you have to do good works to attain righteousness. But in the New Testament, you attain righteousness in Christ, Jesus' good works. So he said, faith without works is dead. Faith that doesn't produce works is also part of Christianity. What are works? Fruit of ministry. Fruit of ministry. The fruit of ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself. No, Second Timothy 3:16. Okay. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All these are fruits that we must bear. And when we bear these fruits, then it shows that we are not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So the reason why we go to church, the reason why we read our Bible, the reason why we pray and we all these activities, it's not to go to heaven, it's to be fruitful. And the reason why sometimes God will come into our lives and try to remove things from our lives, separate us, because he wants us to be more fruitful. Fight against is your fruitful. You becoming fruitful. And the fight you have with the devil is to prevent you. That is why he will prevent you from reading your Bible. Because he knows that if you stay in the word, you'll be fruitful. He will prevent you from enjoying the fellowship of believers, because when you enjoy fellowship, you are at rest. You need rest to be fruitful. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. They said, learn of me. You can't learn of me if you are not at rest. So, our main struggle is how to bear fruit, how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost to make sure that the seed in us becomes fruit. And that should be our passion. That should be our obsession. That should be our commitment. How am I growing as a believer? Am I at the same level I was last year? Is there any difference? You see, God doesn't mind. For as long as the person is committed to bearing fruit. But when there's nothing, no concern, just doing anything anyhow, not caring about fruit, then the Father is displeased. So there are some believers who will be like a ground that is dry, barren land. There are some who will be like a well-watered garden, flourishing, abounding in every good work, the riches of Christ, peace, love, joy, patience, all these things, the fruit of souls. When was the last time you spoke to somebody about Christ? When was the last time you consciously spoke to somebody about Christ? I'm not talking about taking the Bible and moving from house to house, but I'm talking about it becoming your lifestyle, to the extent that when you encounter people, you cannot help but lead them to Christ or say something to them. We should cultivate a lifestyle of witnessing to people, not necessarily taking our Bibles, but witnessing. Look how Jesus Christ did it. He met a woman at the well. Before the woman left him, the woman had become a new person. But he met her at the well. She was coming to draw water. And by the time that he was through with her, he left the water pot. Then he went empty-handed. What was he going to do? Going to preach. We must become people who are salt. Salt has effective, effective influence. Changing people for the good. Putting things in people. When somebody becomes your friend, the person must change. You don't want to be acted upon. You act upon people. You do what we call positive peer pressure. You put pressure on people to change. They can't change. You can change them. Because we are salt. We are the salt of the earth. As the value of the salt is that the salt is able to dissolve and mingle We have been taught to separate ourselves. I'm telling you, separation is not the key. The key is to be insulated. You are in the class, but you are not affected by the wrongdoings. You are in the business. You're not affected by what they are doing. Because you are set on a course. You have a mission to accomplish. So your mind is always how to win this person to Christ. Everything you do to bring somebody to Christ, do it. Even if it's giving up money, wasting time, sacrificing something, just so that somebody can come to Christ. It is worth it. Jesus Christ, He said, if a man gets the whole world and loses his soul, he said, he has not gained, he has made a loss. Which means that the whole world's goods compared to the soul of a man, the soul of a man is more expensive than all the wealth of the world. Which means that if you take all the money in the world to win one soul, it is worth it. You have not made a loss. Do you understand? If you take all the money in the world to win one soul, because one soul is more costly than all the money in the world. So taking all the money in the world to win one soul, you have not made a loss. You have made a profit. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want us to pray. We are going before God. Anyhow you heard the message, anyhow the Holy Ghost spoke to you, you know yourself, you know which areas you need help. God is prepared to help you to get on track and to bear fruit that the Father will be glorified. Will you now cry out to Him and pray to Him and ask Him for grace? Ask Him to help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. Kaoba hata yala kushe. Libra no si brohoka. Mandoro bokotaha. Liko tolohokaha. Ramataya libro todosim. Mandibri kotolihanda. Boliandiribikatum. Malubra handibra katuyada. Lizo loko tianda haka. Roma di brodosi kahada. Mikoro kotoriyanda. Mengala badosi kete. Kuliyandi brotosehe. Liporo kitahada. Ikologo sikahada. Mandi prato ikatiyada. Lo zibro honde. Imbalanda brada batosambrada batata. Ripohasi. Ripohata yada. Likoto honde. We are praying this prayer also. We are asking God, whatever it takes, oh God, for me to stay fruitful, I ask for it. Whatever it will take for me to stay fruitful, give it to me. Listen, whatever it will take for me to stay fruitful, Lord, whatever you will do for me to stay fruitful, I'm ready. Ready to submit to the Holy Ghost, His process of shaping me, cleansing me, process of pruning me so that I can be fruitful. Let's pray.
So to keep us on the path of fruitfulness,
We are praying this prayer, last prayer. We are praying for our country. We are asking God, let Ghana abide under your canopy. We are praying that the hand of God will come down on this nation for good. That whatever it will take for Ghana to get back on track, the hand of God will perform that. That favor will be bestowed upon this nation. That peace will be on our borders. Pray for Ghana. Kabaya loko shikaha. Limra doloboko shianda. Li prokarian diridim. Lo darian darabako shi inkata. In the name of Jesus, we lift up the nation Ghana before you, O God. We make a declaration, Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. In the name of Jesus, your peace will prevail. Your peace will prevail. Your peace will prevail. The scepter of wickedness will not fall upon this land. In the name of Jesus, the hand of God will catch down. The hand of God will come upon this nation for good. In the name of Jesus, go see under her. Lo zibra ha tolikata. Luka yande bratose. Mandere took her. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We ask you for grace. We ask you for mercy. We ask you, O God, for help. That we will bear fruit, O God. In areas where we are lacking fruit, Father, have mercy on us. Help us, O God. Help us, whatever it takes, O God, for us to stay on the way, on the path of fruitfulness. Help us, Lord. To bear fruit, Lord, that we may walk worthy of you and fully please you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.